How was editing the last one?
Oh, you know, a fucking nightmare.
Well, I mean, there were three people in it.
Yeah, but well, it was also 2 hours long. The video cut off. So apologies, actually, right off the bat, I should start with this. Apologies to our patrons. It got so long that the video was just like, no, I don't think so.
I'm just tired.
Yeah.
The video was like, I'm going to take a nap.
So the footage that we recorded was about 2 hours long. You guys got an episode that I think was about an hour and a half,
yeah,
an hour and 20, something like that. So I hope you enjoyed it. We did hear from a listener. Oh, I should have gotten his name beforehand. What is his name? Ryan. Why did I forget Ryan?
It's the easiest. I was like, Ryan, name. Jesus. Ryan, don't take it personally. Or do take it personally, very personally.
See, I feel like there was something I wanted to talk about right out of the
gate, but now I don't remember what. Was it the Oscars?
No. But like before we actually got started.
Something about Ryan.
No, something about Mary is the name of that movie. No, I feel like there was something like someone died or something.
Someone did die. Oh, it was. I can't remember his name.
Was it Richard Lewis?
Well, there was that too.
Oh, wow.
No, I can't.
Enough for Chris Treble.
No, good enough for me. But the one I thought you would have mentioned is a guy, I can't remember his name, but the guy who created Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very sad.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a video on that, but I never got around to it. So maybe that'll be next week's video.
There you go.
On long form storytelling and how Akira Toriyama perfected it.
Whoa. Bold claim.
It is absolutely true.
Yep.
Watch all 7,000 episodes of Dragon Ball Z and tell me I'm wrong.
I have. And I cannot because I passed out after episode 3096.
Wow. You got pretty far.
I know. I did. I really made my way through it.
Great. How are you?
I'm tired. Jesus, I'm so tired right now. I don't know what's going on. I could literally fall asleep in the middle of this episode. I'm not going to lie. I might. I just might.
Do it.
Yeah? Let's do it. I'm happy to do a 15-minute news episode.
Oh, no. I'm saying I'll keep going for an hour.
Oh, great.
With occasional snores.
Sorry. You're misunderstanding my grammar. I'm happy to do a 15-minute news episode.
You're going to be awake for 15 minutes?
No, I'll just stay on the call for 15 minutes, and then my unconscious body will slump forward in a way that will shut off my internet.
It'll hit the space bar, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great.
I'm exhausted. I don't know what's going on. Well, actually, I do. Ryder's sick, and that's just been...
Yeah.
It's one of those.
That's the police coming for you right now.
Can you hear that? My windows are shut. Jesus Christ.
It's the ambulance coming for Ryder.
Yeah, it's coming for me.
Yeah, you wish. Not with your insurance. The USA,
thanks,
baby.
Thanks, Obama. That's right. I'm all right. I did enjoy your post about you took one day off of work and got 800 emails. So that was fun.
I sure did.
That was fun. How's that going? How's that saga going?
I got it down to 300 unread emails.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I'm hoping to get all the way caught up by tomorrow.
Okay.
If not, I'll hang myself.
Okay. Also a good option. Always so, yeah. On the table.
I might be on a table. It might be on a chair.
Well, I trust me on this. You shouldn't try and do that on the table. It really doesn't do anything. Then it's just a guy on a table with a rope.
Well, you kick the table away, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's where I went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense now. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I should wrap this up then because I have something to do.
I got stuff to do.
I got shit to do.
Oh, man.
Welcome to the Media Lunch Break, bringing you all of your comic, geek, and movie news all in the time it takes to eat a good sandwich and then just end it all. My name is Chris Treble. Looks like, as always, it's going to be one of those episodes. I can feel it already. Where was I? My name is Chris Treble. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host Andrew Dunn. Say hello, Andrew.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Yeah, that's it. There you go.
We're getting real macabre today. We're getting real dark humor.
It's right out of the gate. It's feeling dark. It's feeling.
We went straight to unaliving ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, good term.
Thank you.
I like that.
That's how you not get censored on the kids' TikTok, which evidently might be getting banned soon.
Which might be. Yeah, TikTok might get censored on the kids' TikTok over there.
Did you see that?
I saw it. Did it pass? I didn't see what
the House. Yeah, passed through the House. Okay. It still has to go through the Senate, and Biden has to not veto it.
Yeah, but which he said he will not veto it. I think.
I don't know if he said anything about it.
I think he said it. He's like, if somebody puts something on my desk, I'll sign it. He said that literally about any piece of paper, though. He said, if you put a blank piece of paper on my desk, I'll just start signing this stuff. I don't know what's coming in. I don't know what's going out. So I just, I've replaced the auto pen with my hand. Just whatever you put there.
And then he signed a document confirming that.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, he signed it crooked on the side margin because somebody didn't line it up. They actually have on the Resolute desk, I think they've like, kind of like you have with your printer, it has the margins, you know?
Yeah.
And you want to make sure you just line that sucker up right before you put it in front of the president.
Anyway, that's how I became married to Joe Biden.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I heard you were registered at Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's
right. So I got you a little something. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the hand lotion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to take advantage of that.
I bet you are. I bet you are. Yeah.
And I cover him in it. Because he's wrinkly.
He is wrinkly because he's old. Man. He's old and he's close to death. But who among us isn't?
I mean, now that you and I have figured out the little hiccup we had in our system at the beginning of the show.
That little detail.
We're real close.
Oh, yeah. Getting closer by the second.
Chris.
Yes?
I think it's time to get on with the show.
I think so, too. Did you know, Andrew? Do you know what today is? Do you know?
I don't know.
It's a weekday, but it's a very special weekday. In fact, some would say this is the best damn day of the week. It's the Tuesday news day,
Andrew. Oh, it's the Tuesday news day.
Of course it is. That's why I haven't offed myself yet, because it's the Tuesday news day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is that really going to be the callback we go back to throughout this episode?
I don't know, but I'm excited to find out just as much as you and the listener are.
Before
we get to actual news, do you want to talk about the Oscars? Did you watch the Oscars? I watched the Oscars, but you never watched the Oscars.
Chris, I did watch the Oscars. The 96th Academy Awards ceremony recently aired on ABC, and there was certainly a big winner among the nominees. The night can only be summarized in the immortal and befuddled words of Al Pacino, quote, "My eyes see Oppenheimer."
I missed that moment. That was the one moment I missed. I gotta go back
and
watch it.
You missed the Best Picture winner?
I didn't miss it. Did I? Yeah, I did.
I mean, you certainly missed when it was announced.
No, I missed literally just the moment it was announced. That was it. That's all
amazing.
I missed. Yeah.
It was very strange and awkward, and I don't know what happened.
Man, they got to fix this Best Picture thing, because they always fuck it up lately.
They do. Let me tell you, let me give you some advice. It's kind of complicated. It might take the rest of the episode for me to work through my sort of plan for how I would fix this.
Cool.
Don't hire really, really old people.
Oh, that's a tough one.
To be fair, I don't think that's what happened with the La La Land thing, but
that is what happened with the La La Land thing.
Was it a really old person?
It was a really old person not understanding what they were looking at.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, look, I hate to sound ageist. I don't want to sound ageist, but hire as many old people as you want to read as many cards as you want. But for Best Picture,
put them in the beginning of the show where they can do their thing and then go to bed.
No, but maybe hire somebody. Maybe John Mulaney should have done that one.
Oh my
or somebody
gosh.
Who's like real quick on their feet.
That
you know?
Would have been amazing. It would have taken an hour because they would have given him a whole Netflix special to announce Best Picture. Would have been worth it. That Field of Dreams speech was odd and yet brilliant.
It was very good.
It was very good. Very, very good.
So, yeah, it was very weird, though. He didn't even you didn't see it. He didn't even read the nominees, which I think may have been sort of part of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I think because you saw it, they were frequently being like, here's a clip from one of the Best Picture nominees.
Yes.
And then like 10 minutes later, they'd be like, here's a different one. And here's a different one. So I wonder if that's what they were doing to save time instead of having somebody read it all at once.
They typically do that. They will throughout the night just be like, here's this summary of the Best Picture. Mostly because also throughout the night, they're typically nominated for a bunch of awards. So it's like, here are the ones. And then when they get to the Best Picture, what they'll still read off the nominees, but it'll be fast. It'll just be like, you know, Oppenheimer,
right.
Barbie,
this one,
instead of playing a clip like they know, like they used to do.
Well, so this time Al Pacino shuffled out onto the stage.
I saw him shuffle out
and went, "Hoo-ah, everyone. Hi, how you doing? I'm Al Pacino. Hey." And then he was like,
"Hoo-ah!
There's an ad. They gotta give a Best Picture to somebody, don't they? They sure do. And you know, it's important. Your eyes all saw all the movies. And when I open this envelope here, I guess the award goes to I don't know. My eyes see Oppenheimer."
Yeah.
And that's how they announced it.
Yeah.
And there was like a couple scattered claps.
And then he's like, no, motherfuckers. I said, Oppenheimer, get
no,
up here.
No, he sure didn't. He just stood there and waited for somebody to escort him off the stage. It was real weird.
And, back to
and
the
eventually
home.
He was he held it up and he was like, yeah, it says Oppenheimer. And everyone was like, oh, I guess Oppenheimer won.
Yeah, I think that's why I left the room, because I was like, I saw him come out and I was like, oh, well, I got a second. I think I was literally going to get like a toothbrush or something.
Right.
I was like, I got a second to kill. Like, he's going to come out and do
name
a little
all
speech.
47 nominees.
And name 47 movies, and everybody, and they'll flash to the producers and everybody will clap for a second and everything like that. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, I got a second to like go and get a drink of water and then come back. And then I came back and all of a sudden Emma Thompson is on the fucking screen talking about how she's so happy that she won an Oscar and she really wanted this. And I was like, what happened?
Oh, right. Emma, who?
Not Emma Thompson. What's Christopher Nolan's wife's name? It is Emma Thompson, isn't it?
Emma Thomas.
Emma Thomas. Thank you. All right. So
two first names. That's how you know you can't trust her.
I wasn't crazy, at least.
Not for that. So anyway, that was weird.
That was weird.
What else we got? There were a couple strange, almost upsets. I was not expecting Poor Things to win so many things.
Yeah.
They won a lot. Robert Downey Jr. got his first Oscar.
So happy about that.
About time.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Well deserved. This was definitely one that wasn't like, you know, sometimes they give him at least a nomination or something for a different movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Cinderella Man.
Yeah.
But this one was actually really well deserved. I thought he was fantastic in this. Divine Randolph Joy won I always mix up her name.
Yeah, Divine Joy Randolph.
Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, which was great.
Yeah, which I have not seen.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Was she the best one out of those that group?
That was a pretty even. Actually, that was a pretty even group. And honestly, if Paul Giamatti had won over Cillian Murphy, I would have been like, yep, I see it. Like,
oh, no, I mean the best supporting actresses.
She was, it's what, her, America Ferrera,
Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, and Jodie Foster.
I did not see Danielle Brooks and Jodie Foster, but she was fantastic. I would give it to her over America Ferrera, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it was well-deserved.
Probably Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Emily Blunt was, both of them were great in their respective movies, but I feel like
That's why they have an Oscar nomination.
Yes, but this was, I don't know, this went like the full, the only way I could describe it, it went full Oscar. It went like, it had some good funny parts to it. She was really powerful. She plays a mom whose son died in Vietnam. So like there's some emotion to it and everything. But like it goes up and down. Whereas the other movies, you kind of had one. They were great performances. But let's be honest, America Ferrera got nominated for delivering like one of the best monologues in the last 10 years. And then the rest of the performance was good, but didn't blow me away. And Emily Blunt was fantastic, but she is a stone cold bitch, that movie. Pretty much throughout the whole time. Does a great job at being it, but I think she, you know, doesn't get quite the arc that Divine Joy Randolph got.
And best animated feature film went to The Boy and the Heron, which was Miyazaki's, maybe his last film. It was like his fourth last film.
You can always tell what the best animated feature is going to be if it's not a Pixar movie, because it's the only one I will have heard of. And that one I actually had heard of.
I think Wes Anderson won best live action short.
He did.
That was
he
weird.
Did for Henry Sugar or whatever that name of that movie
the
is.
The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Henry Sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some sugar. Oppenheimer won best original score, which was odd, I think, but fine.
I couldn't name a good score from this year anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
American Fiction won Best Adapted Screenplay, which was good. I didn't see that movie, but I did read the screenplay and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And trying to think, what won Best Original Screenplay?
Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, I had heard nothing but amazing things about that, but I didn't read it.
Interesting, because I have heard nothing.
Well, the only thing I know about it is that I couldn't really read it because most of the of it is in French, I believe.
Oh.
Even though it's a movie that I believe is also done in English, or at least some English.
I never heard of it.
John Cena came out. He was naked. He was naked, possibly swinging his big old dick around. But
he sure was.
And then there was that.
But also was not naked, actually. It was all a ruse.
And if you see the behind the scenes photos. Wait, Sarah's smiling when I'm talking about John Cena naked. What's that mean?
How could you even see anything? He's invisible.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Best production design went to Poor Things, which I thought was a crime. Barbie probably should have won. Godzilla won best visual effects. That's pretty cool.
Yes, I'm very happy about that. I haven't even seen that, but I've heard nothing but amazing things about the visual effects, and it's about time that a Godzilla movie won something.
Yeah, and best lead actor went to first-time winner Cillian Murphy, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy seems like the kind of guy who should have like six of these already.
Right, or at least a couple nominations under his belt.
Yeah, for sure. Emma Stone won best lead actress. Probably fine. Haven't seen the movie. Heard it's real weird and not great, but it won a bunch of stuff, so there's that.
Well, the Oscars are never wrong.
Yeah, that's right. So, Christopher Nolan won Best Director, and Best Picture went to Oppenheimer. Best Picture went to My Eyes See Oppenheimer. I'm going to write a book called that. That should be the title of Al Pacino's biography, My Eyes See Oppenheimer.
I think they should just change the name of Oppenheimer to that now. I think now it should just be called My Eyes See Oppenheimer.
Great. Anyway, that's the Oscars. They happened.
That's the Oscars, and there it is, and I almost dropped my phone, and that's what that noise was. Anyway, Andrew, should we get on with some other news?
Let's get on with some other news.
All right, what else you got? What do we got?
Well, Marvel is the best at what they do, and what they do is fire showrunners before their show comes out, evidently, yes! Because the creator of X-Men 97 has been let go for reasons unknown. Bo DiMaio, according to THR, DiMaio's company email was deactivated and the cast and crew were told that he was no longer on the project. DiMaio's Instagram account also was deleted and no reason for the firing has been revealed. Is Marvel getting ahead of something coming out, or maybe there have been complaints about this man?
That I would say yes on both accounts. I would assume that those two things are linked.
You know, he has an OnlyFans.
Yes, he does. I was just going to bring that up too.
Isn't that interesting?
So it's a non-erotic OnlyFans.
No, it's a non-explicit.
No, it's not explicit. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
It's certainly erotic.
I was like, that seems weird to say about
his Instagram was erotic.
His non-explicit OnlyFans. How do you make an erotic OnlyFans non-explicit?
Lewds, not nudes.
Well said, sir.
Thank you.
I would assume that might have something to do with it.
I doubt it. It sounds like that was something that was fairly well known.
Yeah, you knew about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the problem is now.
I don't think that had something to do with it. Evidently there have been complaints about him when he was working on The Witcher.
Okay.
But no one really explained what. They just said he was sort of difficult to work with.
Yeah. So this, without knowing any of the facts, and this is all obviously alleged, I would assume this feels very much like we just got done with having to restructure our entire cinematic universe because of one person.
Yeah.
Let's not have to deal with this again. And them getting out in front of something before it even gets announced.
Because there's also always the possibility that it's because the series was so bad that it was unfixable and they let him go, which has happened in similar.
Typically, if they're going to do something like that, they would at least let him get through the press tour and promote the show.
Yeah.
So that.
Well, and let it come out first or after the reviews come in. And then if the reviews are real bad, because Who knows? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe people are going to fucking love this.
Exactly. And that's the thing. This is where the bells go off for me, is that he didn't even get a chance to promote the thing. Like, they got rid of him before the show even comes out. And it's not like they have somebody else to fall back on with this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if this was a movie, you know, the Jonathan Majors thing, if this all had happened during Quantumania, parade Paul Rudd out there. You can parade, Michael Douglas out there, Michelle Pfeiffer out there. Hell, put Bill Murray somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you got a number of stars you can parade out there and be like, go see the movie for us.
For sure.
They got this guy. This guy who headed the show, wrote the show, is a well-known fan of the original series as well. You know, this is the person you used to promote your show. And now you took that bullet out of the gun. This smells like controversy.
It sure does. It feels like a break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah, and I will also say, now that I'm thinking about it, especially for a writer, because typically a writer, they're not as much in the public eye, so they can kind of get away with some stuff. You can skirt around it, you can hide some stuff, because they're not out there as often. They come out to promote it, and then they go back into their little hole and write a show.
Right.
But if it's this bad, right, as they're going to bring this guy out to promote the show, that they think this is going to tank the show, something's on the horizon about this person. That's what I feel. Again, this is all alleged, but this smells like controversy to me.
Yep. It sure does. I agree with you. It feels weird that, like, this can only make your show, this can only make people go, well, I guess the show's bad because they're firing the guy who created this show that's about to come out.
Right.
If I wasn't so deep into the Marvel, you know, mythos and baseball and like everything that's going on behind the scenes, my initial thought would be, well, the show's probably going to suck then. The same way that the writers quit for Avatar: The Last Airbender. You know, it's a bad sign.
Yeah, it is.
But because we know how much Marvel has gone through with, like you said, Jonathan Majors and that sort of thing, it really feels more like a, we do not have another choice.
Yeah.
We have to let this guy go before it does an insane amount of damage to our brand.
Right, right. You want to move on to something else?
I do.
All right. Andrew.
Yeah.
Are you excited about Superman Legacy?
I'm very excited for Superman Legacy.
Well, it's not even Superman Legacy.
The, the movie's been canceled.
No.
Superman Legacy is no more.
It's just Superman.
I'm so
now.
Sad, it's Chris. Okay. Why would you deliver this horrible news to me on mic?
Because it gives me pleasure to see you weep.
Okay, great.
So it's just called Superman now. Just. Straight old Superman. Actually, that's going to be the next title. Straight old Superman.
Straight old Superman. Honestly, I would watch that. I would read that Elseworld.
Straight old Superman, the Joe Biden story.
That's right.
That hurt. That hurt me, actually, to do that joke.
It should.
I don't like the way that people are going to think of me after that. Yeah, James Gunn put out a what do you call it when it's on Threads?
A thread?
A thread? Is it? I guess it would be a thread.
It must be a thread.
It must be a thread. Okay.
He posted on Threads.
He posted on Threads. Basically saying, like, listen, when I started this script, it was Superman Legacy. And by the end, it was very clear that this was just Superman. And that's going to be the title. Now, we also got with it a first look at part of the costume, at least the little emblem. Did you see the first look? A little snowy look at.
Yeah, I did.
Looks good. I like it. It has kind of like an old school, almost like 1930s feel to it. Actually, no, it looks a little Kingdom Come.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's got the color scheme of like the old Superman costume from like the 30s, where there's no like red outline of it. It's just kind of yellow into red. But the way the S goes looks very Kingdom Come to me, which is kind of interesting. I'm kind of excited to see what the rest of the costume looks like. Looks nice and big. And that's what I want. I want a big S. I don't want the little Superman Returns S. That was too small.
Yeah.
I want a big S.
A big logo.
I like a logo.
I like a big S.
I want it to go to like two.
I like a big ass and a big S.
Yep. And a big D. I want it to go to his armpits. That's what I want. I want the S to go.
I want it to go to his D.
Yeah. I want the point to go to his D. I want the S to go to his ace. I want it to wrap around the whole body.
You want it to reach around the whole body.
I want the S to reach around to the D.
God damn it. From the ass to the D.
From the ass to the D. Yeah, that's looking interesting. Also, we got some casting. There was a bunch of stuff going on. We got some casting going on, too. Yeah.
What did we get?
Perry White will be played now by one Wendell Pierce.
Who's that?
Wendell Pierce is? Wendell Pierce is a guy from, he's probably best known for The Wire. But he's also been in a bunch of other stuff. He's also a big theater guy, but this guy right here.
No idea who that is.
No idea. He's a good actor. This is a good choice. Take it from me. This is a very good choice. I'm excited to see Wendell Pierce. He can be really funny, too, when he wants to be. Very, very good actor. So
that's exciting. An
exciting choice, actually. This cast is shaping
up to be something. I mean, James Gunn, man, if nothing else, they announced at the Oscars they're going to start doing casting awards, right? James Gunn is going to start pulling in some Oscars, I think.
I think so, yeah. Or at least his movies are going to start pulling in some Oscars as well. That's some pretty good... pretty good casting right there. But yeah, this is all shaping up to be exciting stuff. I'm happy. I like the new title. Superman. Simple. Clean.
Yeah, I like it too. I think Superman Legacy is a good name, but like...
make it the next one.
It's sharing that it's a reboot as well. Like, this is... we're starting over. This isn't...
this is fresh.
This isn't that shit you saw last time. This isn't, why are you saying Martha? This is a new thing, a new era. Yeah. It's Superman. And it also says to me, we're going back to the basics.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. Because everyone always thinks that Superman is from 1978. It's called Superman. And it's not Superman the movie. So technically, this is the first movie called Superman.
Interesting.
So everyone get off your high horse. Okay. But it does. It harkens back to like, because everyone thinks it's just, that movie is called Superman.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, oh, we're going back to that type of movie.
Interesting. Because I more mean like the original comics. Like, it makes me feel like, we're going back to the roots. We're going back to, this is just regular old Superman. This isn't like dark and brooding.
Right.
This is Superman.
This is the Superman, you know, from the comics put onto the screen, just ripped from the page to the screen. Which, if anyone can do that, it's going to be James Gunn.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Well, last year, speaking of James Gunn, last year, Grant Gustin wrapped up his 9th year of playing The Flash in the CW series of the same name. And now that the show has come to a close, it's time for Gustin to set his sights higher and move on to bigger and better things and away from any live action DC Comics adaptations. Which is why James Gunn wants to cast Grant Gustin in a live-action DC Comics adaptation.
And he should.
I know. When asked about Gustin, Gunn said, "Grant is an incredibly talented guy performing now on Broadway, I believe, and is absolutely not going to waste just because he's not currently in a DC project. But of course, I'd love to work with him at some point. What character should he play?" You're the resident DC nerd. I have an idea in my head, but I want to hear what you have to say before I influence you.
I mean, the obvious one is The Flash.
Right.
I don't care if you bring it over or if you reboot that character and just make him a new Barry Allen.
I also read one that said, I read a listicle that said there's a character that's a Batman in an alternate universe who becomes obsessed with the Speed Force and becomes a villain.
Yeah, that could be really interesting. It kind of turn it on its head, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's played... I mean, he was in Glee and he played a villain, which is a different type of thing. It's not like, but I've seen him play.
No,
nasty.
You don't remember that episode where he came in and just murdered everybody like the Joker? He was like, Joker. Yeah. And he had
I think that was the series finale.
Yeah, it sure was.
But I've seen him play nasty and he can do it. Like he can turn it on if he wanted to and turn me on as well. And he has, and he is now.
Yeah.
So he could definitely play a good villain. I bet you he'd be a very charismatic Riddler.
Oh, that is a great idea.
Yeah, I bet he'd be really good at that. Hero-wise, I mean, again, it's hard to get out of The Flash because he was really good.
Yeah.
Of a show that, for the most part, was like mediocre to terrible for a lot of it.
Yeah.
He is a shining part. Like, he's the thing you keep showing up for. Like, even you hated that show.
Yep.
And even
if
you
he wasn't
like,
in
nah,
it, I probably
good.
Wouldn't have kept watching it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then imagine the idea of like giving him the space to breathe by giving him a movie as opposed to that villain of the week CW.
Well,
type
also
of thing.
A good script. Like, but that's what, just give him some good stuff.
Yeah. So it's hard to get out of the Flash thing.
Tell me about it.
I'm sure he could play Beast Boy. He could play a good Beast
be
Boy.
A good
too.
Beast Boy. He's a little tall for Beast Boy, but yeah.
Yeah, but who knows how tall Beast Boy is. What's your suggestion? I'm curious.
This might be just because we just read this.
Yeah.
But I think Animal Man.
Oh, I could see Animal Man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I got another one. Nightwing.
Oh, yeah. So I did some Googling to figure. I literally was like, what should Grant Gustin play in DC or whatever? And that was one that came up quite a bit.
Nightwing would be really good for him.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really, really good. Yeah. Animal Man would be really good. I mean,
that's something he could age into as well. Like we could see him get sort of washed up and then do Grant Morrison?
Yep.
Do the Grant Morrison run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, you know what? I'm also going to say this. I want, if anyone's going to take that on, I want James Gunn, Grant Gustin, Animal Man.
Yeah.
Let's make that project happen.
That'd be great.
Because that would be, again, the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy. Imagine the crazy shit that he did with Guardians. Like, you know, the prison scene in Guardians 1, the prison scene in Guardians 3. Shit, I just put something. But like those, that shit, how crazy that stuff gets. And then, again, like Animal Man and how it kind of crazy it gets. And we didn't even get into the second volume where it gets even crazier and more meta.
Yeah.
But like, imagine James Gunn taking something that kind of like off the wall and really being able to do something.
Yeah. Well, and even we've been talking for a while about how excited we are to see him take on Tom King's run of Supergirl.
Yeah. 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 So that'll be really
Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah. So Animal Man would be really good for him. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Andrew, are you looking, are you excited about the Batman Part 2?
Man, I was really like, are we at the end of the show already? Yeah. Yes, I am looking very excited. It's coming out, I think, this year. I'm very excited for it.
Well, that's too bad, because it's not coming out this year. It's coming out next year. It's coming out a whole other year behind. It's coming out in 20, I don't know where this bit is going. It's coming out in 2026 now.
I think it was coming out next year, and now it's coming out in, let me check my notes. The year of our Lord, 2037.
Yep, that's it. It's now going to open October. So it's going to open October 3rd, 2025.
Well, it is really hard to film it because Robert Pattinson can't be in the sunlight for too long.
That's true. Also, he's got to get fit by microwaving all that spaghetti or whatever he eats or whatever his crazy ass diet is. Yeah. Now it's coming out October 2nd, 2026. I have no idea why they would do this. This was a huge movie for them. Wouldn't you want to get this going?
Well, maybe. I feel like that might be the issue. Maybe they don't like the script and they're trying to get it perfect, right?
Perfect. What's perfect in this world? Nothing. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, look at Hollywood.
They did a lot of good stuff in the first one.
They did do a lot of good stuff. And they set up a good, cool, interesting world for the sequel. A world underwater. I really want the sequel to be that. I want flooded Gotham.
Yeah. And look, I think we agreed. I thought the first one was... I think the way I worded it was like, it's sort of the litmus test for like, if you can't make a Batman movie better than this one, don't try.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all it's we fine. Have to say about this, isn't it?
I guess. You know yeah, what? I don't.
It's okay. Hey, buddy. It's okay, man. We don't need a bit for every single news story. That's okay. And you know what? I'm going to even go on a limb. We don't even need to like every news story. That's totally fine, too. You know? It's all right. Sometimes we just say stuff out loud and it's just there. And that's okay. That's all right. Let's just live in this moment for a second. You want to just live in this moment? This moment where I said a story and to be honest with you, you nor I really actually cared about it. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Let's live in this moment. See how this feels.
No, I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either.
I think I remember the thing that I wanted to say at the beginning. Did you see the thing about Jake Lloyd's mom giving an update on him?
I saw the headline, but I didn't see the update. I just know he's...
It is... Wowzers.
Yeah.
Well, he's schizophrenic.
Okay.
And had to drop out of college because he had a psychotic episode where he was driving his mom somewhere. And he said, I have to stop the car. And he came to a stop and turned off the car in the middle lane of a highway.
Oh, that's good.
And then the police came and he got a psychotic evaluation and he was admitted to like a psychiatric hospital. And he's been there for, I think they said, a year or two. And he's doing better than they expected, but still not great. He started hearing voices while he was in college. Evidently, he didn't know about any of the backlash concerning his acting and stuff in the Star Wars movies. His mom wouldn't let him on the computer, so he never found out about any of it. And he just didn't enjoy it very much.
Oh.
Like he stopped liking auditioning, and so he just stopped doing it. Yeah. And then once he hit college, he started having like... psychotic episodes.
Interesting.
And was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so that's what he's been up to.
There's nothing I can do with that. There's nowhere I can go with that one. There's nothing.
Chris, do you not have any jokes for this?
Yeah, no, I don't. That's why I'm not enjoying this. There's nothing I can do with this. All right. And this is coming from the guy who joked about hanging himself off of a table at the beginning of the episode. So this is really.
Well, roses are red. Violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic. And so am I. I just wanted to say best of luck to Jake Lloyd. We hope he gets better. We joke. We kid around. We make some pretty dark jokes. But the internet and the world in general was real fucking mean to that kid and didn't deserve it.
Yeah. And that was just a kid, motherfucker.
And now he's just an adult.
Just an adult.
And frankly, you shouldn't be mean to adults who never did anything mean to you.
Why do I feel like that was pointed directly at me?
Don't know what you're talking about. Studio Ghibli released a statement on the Oscar win for The Boy and the Heron.
And what did they say? Yay, we got an award.
They said, should have gone to Spider-Verse. No. what did they say? Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's all in Japanese, so I have no idea.
Wow, you racist.
I can't read Japanese. What do you want? It says...
exactly. Send it to me. I can read it because I'm not a racist.
So the Studio Ghibli co-founder... Toshio Suzuki has released a statement addressing the win, saying, quote, as producer on The Boy and the Heron, I am extremely honored to receive the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to the Academy. I would also like to give my thanks to those who were involved in the production of this film and all those who worked to distribute the film worldwide, and also for that old, old man for not retiring. I added that last part.
I would have bought it.
He added, the film began with director Hayao Miyazaki retracting his retirement statement. I was right. Following that, we spent 7 years in the production of this work. 7 years. It has been 10 years since Miyazaki's previous film, The Wind Rises, during which time there have been dramatic changes in the environment surrounding films. This film was truly difficult to bring to completion. I'm very appreciative that the work that was created after overcoming these difficulties has been seen by so many people around the world, and that it has received this recognition. Both Miyazaki and I have aged a considerable amount. Full stop. I am grateful to receive such an honor at my age and taking this as a message to continue our work. I will devote myself to work harder
or to stop it
in the future. There you go.
Here's your Oscar. Now knock it off. That's how I would read that.
Yeah, man. Go be with your kid. Do you know that the movie's about an old man whose child is unable to take over the family business after Miyazaki tried to give the family business to his son and he didn't do a good job?
Those sound completely unrelated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I bet they are.
And he's like, Dad, I could have done a good job. And he's like, not Oscar good. Donk.
I just love the idea that he went into his son's room and he's like, son, the dishonor you've made me feel has given me a great idea for a movie. You've finally done something right.
Finally pulled your weight around here. And he's like, so is that Oscar partly mine? And he's like, fuck off.
Nah, sure ain't.
It's all me. Do you see your name on this? Nope. All me.
Technically, because you're the boy and the boy in the herring. Like, it's technically about you.
So you think because you're a fuck up, that means that, and you inspired a movie by being a fuck up, that means you get an Oscar? I don't think so, motherfucker.
No, the guy who turned your lemons into lemonade gets the Oscar.
I'm drinking that lemonade all the way to the bank, bitch. He's like, it's 2 a.m. Can I please just go to sleep?
You've been sucking on my lemonade for too long.
I'm 13 years old, Dad. What did you want from me?
I know. I'm pretty sure he's a grown ass man.
Put me in charge of the company. It's anyway.
Probably older than Jake
Lloyd.
I just
want to go to school.
Yeah.
Go to school with this motherfucking Oscar, bitch.
What?
What is
Who
it?
Said
what?
That?
Nothing. Nothing. Just go to sleep.
I'd like to go to sleep forever.
Fuck this Oscar now. I would like to go to sleep forever, too. Anyway, this is weird. I got one more for you before we get out of here. You want one more?
Yes.
There's been rumors going around that John Bernthal is going to be back as the Punisher in the new Daredevil revival. I feel like we've been hearing these. I've heard this rumor once before as well. But Bernthal, really, if he's not in it, he's not helping things because he tweeted out. Did he tweet it? He put it in it. I don't know. He put it on some social media. He put it on Truth Social. I don't know. Whatever he's on. But he put out a picture of a children's book cover, One Batch, Two Batch, which sounds innocent enough, except that One Batch, Two Batch is the book that Frank Castle reads his daughter.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. So everyone's kind of assuming that this is confirmation that he's going to be back. And I got to say, I would love that. I will say, as much as we have been shitting on Marvel lately for everything that they do or don't do, to this day, casting.
Yeah.
Their specialty. And when they get it right and everyone's like, oh, they're going to reboot that, why bother casting somebody else? We'll just keep the same guy. True with Charlie Cox, true with Vincent D'Onofrio, very true with John Bernthal. That man is the Punisher. That was your turn now.
I don't feel like, you know, in a way.
I thought you were going to say, I don't feel like talking. So
I don't feel anything in my soul. No, I don't feel like. So here's my thinking. If he really wants to be the Punisher.
Yeah.
The best way he can punish us is by not being the Punisher.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? See what I did?
I see what you did there. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
So, he's not being a very good method actor.
Uh-huh, which is what he is. I mean, the man studied in Russia. I don't think they roll their R's in Russia.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure he actually had assassins murder his real family.
Yeah, I heard about that,
so
too.
So that he could get into the role.
Yeah, and I respect him for him.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, how nervous would you be if you were Daniel Day-Lewis's wife?
Yeah.
And you found out, if he came home and he was like, honey, I just got cast in a role. I'm going to play somebody whose wife has been murdered.
To play Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes. Be like, well, I'm going to be getting a Airbnb for the next 10 years.
Also, I think we need a new freezer. These are unrelated.
Can we get a bigger freezer?
I would be petrified. I mean, I would be petrified if I was Daniel Day-Lewis's wife all the time. Anyway, who knows who I'm going to wake up next to?
Yeah. You look delicious tonight.
One morning, and then I got to say, good morning, Mr. President, for the next 3 months. When does that click in? You know what I mean? Like, when's
how do you ease out of that, too? Is it just like, okay, that's a wrap? And then he's like, all right, you can call me Daniel again, Danny?
Yeah, that's I believe that's what it is. They go, that's a wrap on Daniel Day-Lewis. And he rips off the beard and the top hat. And he's like, I'm back, bitches. And everyone's like, yay, Danny's here. Yay. He's the life of the party. And then he goes and he DJs the after party. It's a whole fucking thing, man. I would believe that, it's crazy.
Actually, yeah.
It would be. It would be really, really good.
Wow. Yeah. And then he takes off his mask and he's like, I've been Jared Leto all along.
No. And then he's like, I'm going to DJ the after party, bitch. And everyone's like, no, motherfucker. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, 30 seconds to Mars. No.
But then he takes off his mask and he's like, psych, I'm actually Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yay. But I also am in 30 seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
Question marks.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Scattered applause.
And weirdly enough, that was day two of filming. So they had a lot more to go.
Yeah. And the next day he puts his beard back on, his big bushy eyebrows and his hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think does he get back in character for reshoots?
I don't think he finishes until I think he stays in character until they're absolutely right,
but a lot of movies will have like, you know, we got to go back and we got to do some pickups and things like that.
Doesn't he always just sort of work with the same guy?
What do you mean?
Isn't it Paul Thomas Anderson? Isn't it always him?
No, but like Lincoln was Spielberg.
Oh, was it?
You know, he was, I mean, Gangs in New York was Scorsese.
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe he asks the director, maybe it's in his contract. Like, if you tell me we're done, we're done.
Maybe. Because everyone's like, oh, this movie's going to reshoot. And what people don't realize is that happens all the time. You go, you shoot, you do principal shooting. They go in, they edit and they go, you know what? We don't have this shot. We don't have this. This needs another scene or something.
Yeah.
So they go back.
But it might be the kind of thing that like somebody like Spielberg or Paul Thomas Anderson, they might be like, yeah, I know if I need, like by the last day of shooting, I know what my vision is for this.
Yeah.
I know whether or not I need Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. If they need any pickups, it's not with the lead actor. They got everything right. They need from that. Yeah, that's true. Because I'm like, I've never heard of that, where he came out of Lincoln and they had to go back into Lincoln for like a week or something.
Yeah. His wife is like, fuck.
Again with this shit. Oh, I'm tired of fucking the president.
You've been Lincoln for 40 fucking years.
Sick of fourscoring with Lincoln all the time. It just won my husband back. Love of God. Well, at least Bill the Butcher was a good lay. Fucking year with this shit.
Yeah.
No, that was me talking about the show.
Oh, great.
You got anything else?
No, I'm just going to move this table across the room underneath that post right after we're done for a random reason.
Cool. Great. All right. Then. Oh, hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Where can they find us?
Well, they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. You can also find us on Twixer, where our handle is @MediaLunchBreak. We're on Facebook, Instagram, that our handle there is @TheMediaLunchBreak. We're at YouTube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak, and we're putting out videos there mostly every week. Chris put up a great video of his pick of the week with some cool single issue comics that came out last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. So check that out. That again is YouTube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. We're on TikTok until the Senate bans it. Our handle there is @TheMediaLunchBreak. We have merch on Teespring. You can find that link on our Twixer, which again is @MediaLunchBreak. If you head over to X. XXX.
Oh.
I know this has been talked about into the fucking dirt, but like, did he really just go like, what's the coolest letter of the alphabet?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
He probably paid a bunch of people, like random people off the street, to be like, hey, I'll give you $100 if you answer this question. What's the coolest letter of the alphabet? And most people said X. So that's what he picked, right?
They were like, what's
he's
like,
what do you think the domain name X.com cost? Hundreds of thousands.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he paid for it with chump change for him. But right. I feel like he was like, you know what we need, guys? We need a sexy name. Something that really like makes it really hot and interesting. And they're like, okay, all right, I understand what you're going for. What you got for us? And he's like, follow me here. Elon. And they're like, no.
Nah, that's not going to do it. In fact, I got somehow even more flaccid after you said that.
It went inward.
Yeah,
It's an innie now. Yeah, all right, how about X? I'm not wild about this one, but X? And they're like, yeah,
that's pretty sexy. And in fact, if we improve on the website, if we improve on the social media, make it 2, maybe even 3 times better than it is now.
Yeah.
We could adjust the domain name.
Yeah.
To xxx.com.
Yeah.
Which is probably not even taken.
Somebody type in on a company computer, see if that's taken.
So many viruses.
Excellent. Okay. Also, so many viruses. You're fired.
That's right. So many viruses in the computer and also myself now, somehow.
Yep. Yes.
Anyway, where was I?
I don't even know.
You can also visit our Patreon. It's patreon.com/themedialunchbreak if you would like to help out the show a little bit. We appreciate every single one of our patrons. We got a lot of cool stuff. There's behind the scenes stuff. There's video of every single episode that is unedited and goes up a little bit early every week. So head over there, check that out. You can also send us an email at themedialunchbreak@gmail.com or visit our website, which is www.themedialunchbreak.com. Give us a rating and reviewing on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And of course, as always, special thank you to Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Who was just recently fired by Marvel, and the reason why will probably come out in the next week or so.
Oh, man, and is it going to be spicy?
Yeah.
Like Andrew said, you can leave a rating and a review, and you can leave it right in app, and it really, really does help. Here's the thing. You leave a 5-star rating, you can leave whatever you review you want in that review box.
Whatever you review you want. That's right. You heard it here first, kids.
Actually, yeah. You know what? You can leave whatever review you want in there. I can't even say the word now.
You sure can.
Jeez. Man. So here's what I want you to do this week, since you can put whatever review you want in there. Just review whatever you want. Not the podcast. Find something else to review. A movie, a book, that guy's latte. I don't know. Whatever you want. Okay. Just life in general. How's that going? You know, I think we all know where Andrew and I stand on it.
Oh yeah.
But just review whatever tickles your fancy. Okay. But make sure to leave that 5-star rating because it helps people find us wherever you find podcasts. This has been the best damn day of the week, the Tuesday news day.
Tuesday news day.
Yeah. And next week, do you want to do Dune 2? It still feels like a Dune 2.
Dune.
Do you want to pencil that in? And then if something else comes up, if you remember what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be the easiest thing for me to do. And also,
yes.
Fun fact.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Canada.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to bring my recording equipment.
Record from Canada. Do they even allow podcasts up there?
I think you'll find they do. In fact, if you start doing it, they interrupt, they'll be like, oh, sorry.
So sorry.
Sorry.
That's one of those ones that's true. Having interacted with many a Canadian, that is 100% how they do it.
Sorry.
They apologize all the time. And I love them for it. If you're listening from Canada, you're like America 2.0 up there. But other than that, so we'll do
you
that.
Have a reading assignment? For you.
Yes, I do. Give me a second.
So I was going to say, if I'm in Canada, we could do We Stand on Guard, which is a Canadian Brian K. Vaughan story.
Ooh. Should we?
It's up to you. You know, it's your turn.
You know what? I was going to give you something else. But since you're going to be in Canada, let's do it.
All right. And also, technically, I didn't get one because the last one was Regina's reading assignment. So yes, this works out.
That's totally fine.
Yes. Okay. We Stand on Guard by Brian K. Vaughan.
Done.
Because we haven't done enough of Brian K. Vaughan stuff.
Absolutely not. So there it is. So next week is going to probably be Dune 2 and then We Stand on Guard. But here's the thing. As we've been trying to figure this out, if you've been listening and you're going, hey, guys, this is what you should talk about. This right over here. Check this out. Throw it over to us.
Does this look contagious to you?
Should I consult a doctor? And then one of us will go, you already have. And you're fine. if you've got a reading assignment, you're like, I read this. This is the greatest thing I've ever read, and I'm signing it to you. Send it over to us. If you're a creator, you wrote a comic, you filmed a pilot, you shot a film, you want us to put eyes on it, ears on it, you want us to like put it on the mic and put it on blast, send it out to people. Send it over. We will talk about it. We'll put it on an episode. We'll have you on sometimes. Hell, we've done that before too. Like I said, send it over to us. Other than that, there it is. We made a thing. There wasn't a thing. And now, look at that. There's
yeah,
a thing.
We made a thing.
What this thing is?
Who knows?
I don't know. But it does classify as a thing.
It sure does.
Science dictates that this is a thing.
It might classify more as the thing, like that sci-fi horror movie.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because you mean because it's going to eventually kill the both of us.
If we're lucky.
If we're lucky. And it feels like we're stuck in a frozen tundra of hell. And also because I look like Kurt Russell.
And I have Keith David's beautiful voice.
You really do. You really do.
Yeah.
Is that the end?
No, it's never over. Like, it never ends.
It doesn't
ends.
Feel like the end.
No.
Just like the thing. You just never know if it's over or not.
I don't know where to go with that.
I don't know where to go with this either. I don't know. This is the end. It's just how it is. As in life, it just peters out into nothingness and a void. And there it is. Sometimes, you know what, Andrew? They don't all have to end like great. Okay?
Yeah.
They don't all have to, just like we don't always have to care about the news stories we talk about, as we've mm-hmm. clearly proven today.
Yeah.
We don't always have to end on a high note or a low note or notes at all, really. Sometimes we just talk, and then at some point the recording stops.